House will come to order. Please stand if you're able. Our flag salute will be led by Representative Tobias Reed. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our opening ceremony this morning will be presented by the Reverend Katie Pate, who is the new senior pastor at Milwaukee Presbyterian Church in my district. She's actually a daughter of West Salem, and her folks are up in the gallery this morning, Jim and Arlene Pate from West Salem. She just recently was called from a church in Northeast Portland. Welcome, Pastor Pate.
Let us join our hearts in prayer. Loving God, we give thanks for this day and for this gathering of those who offer their lives to serve others. Sometimes it feels like we are asked to do so much with so little. We are grateful for the many gifts in our lives, but at times we only see our limitations. We give you thanks for giving us so much to do, for full calendars, for complicated schedules and busy lives. We are grateful for the gift of meaningful work while so many are seeking employment. In this time of year when we celebrate new life all around us in nature, we pray for new eyes to see new ways of approaching old problems. We pray for guidance, for strength, for integrity, for unity, for compassion, and most of all, for love. Amen.
Courtesies. Let's begin with our moment in Oregon history. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The United States' entry into World War II drained much of the available male labor supply from the nation's wartime industries. As a result, women were actively recruited into the workforce as temporary replacements. The War Department believed that housewives were ideal for wartime needs, expecting them to voluntarily forfeit their jobs to returning servicemen at the war's end. Figures for Portland's big Kaiser shipyards in 1944 indicate that the 28,000 women laborers comprised 30% of the workforce, with countless others working in smaller yards along the Columbia and Willamette Rivers. To accommodate families with children, daycare centers became an important feature of urban life for the first time. The Kaiser Shipyards made an early commitment to hire women to fill construction positions at its Portland and Vancouver facilities. When the Oregon Shipbuilding Company hired two women welders in April 1942, it was the first time a U.S. Maritime Commission yard employed female workers to carry out production functions. As news circulated about the shipyard's willingness to hire women, welding schools took on the task of training more women for the work. At their peak, the two Portland shipyards, Oregon Shipbuilding and Swan Island, employed 16,000 women, and the two child care centers cared for approximately 700 children. Female employees were the first to be handed the quit slips when the war began to wind down and shipyard construction began to collapse. Although a few unskilled women workers held on to their jobs after the war, the Oregon Shipyard Corporation laid off its last three women welders in October 1945. Real gains and full equality between men and women in the workplace lay in the future. And colleagues, I would say that even today we are working to obtain equality in the workforce between women and men. So let's look to the future when we can hopefully achieve that. Thank you.
I am. Thank you. Further courtesies, Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to introduce to the body two honorary pages that have come from the longest distance of any other pages, both here from Sweden visiting us. Let me start first with Hulda Secretius. Hulda's here in but living in Lake Oswego and is 11th grader this year at Wilson High School. We've had a chance to meet, and I was extremely impressed with both her English and her grasp of American culture. She's interested in soccer, track, music, and guitar, and it's been a great pleasure for me to meet her. In addition, we have her brother with us today, John Secretius, who's come to visit his sister. And his main interests revolve around sports, and that's why Sweden's going to have such a good Olympic team in the next period. Welcome to our state capital.
Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, please welcome to the Capitol today a couple honorary pages from Staten Middle School. That's quickly turning into one of my favorite schools, quite frankly. Justin, would you please stand? We have Justin Dwyer. He's 14 and in the eighth grade. He enjoys track, music, cross country, piano, and of course, video gaming. And he wants to be an electronic engineer. And then Darian, would you please stand? I'm working very diligently on this name. Kanzinger, he is 8 years old and 14 in the eighth grade and enjoys track and wants to be a structural engineer. So please welcome these two fine gentlemen to the House.
Representative Kennemer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Nice to see you there. Today, I have two very special guests on the side aisle, Richard Riley and Doris Bernard. They are with NAMI Oregon, and the significance of this is just recently Richard put together a paper which I placed on your desk that talks about the impact of the Mental Health Housing Trust, the Damage Trust, as we know about it. And you recall when the bill for the rebalance was before us, I thank the body for putting that $5 million back into the trust and essentially keeping it whole. Richard points out that this seed money provided by that trust since March 2005 has resulted in 24 projects worth $34.5 million in 21 cities across our state. Would encourage you to visit with Richard and Doris, and please extend courtesies to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I cheated just a little because I didn't have time to introduce myself here, so I think I can pronounce Olivia's name. I'd like you to welcome Olivia Schneidecker, and she lives in Toledo and attends Eddyville Charter School, where she's in the eighth grade. Olivia enjoys basketball, softball, and volleyball, and has ambitions of being a history professor. Welcome, Olivia. And with her today is Bianca Dale. Bianca lives in Depot Bay and also attends Eddyville Charter School in the eighth grade. She's a member of student council and has goals of looking at being perhaps a pharmacist or a motivational speaker. I hope you enjoy your day here. Welcome to the Capitol.
Thank you, and welcome to your house and your state capitol, and may you have an enriching day today. Representative Reed. Okay, thank you. Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, today I have an honorary page in Brianna Wallace. Brianna, stand up. Welcome to the state capitol. Colleagues, Brianna is a ninth grader at Wallowa High School. She enjoys basketball, soccer, horse riding, and she's a member of the National Honor Society. Under her career goals, one day she would like to attend the Air Force Academy. Brianna, welcome to your state capitol. It's great having you here from Wallowa County.
And thank you, and welcome to the House. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have the pleasure of introducing an honorary page today, too. Nolan, would you please stand? Colleagues, I met Nolan Bill last summer.
Thank
you. Nolan is 10 years old, and he attends Tom McCall Elementary School in Redmond in the fifth grade. He enjoys geography, history, politics, and he's in a TAG, Talented and Gifted Computer Group. His career goals are engineering, politics, and public service. Colleagues, last summer we had a ceremony at Tom McCall Elementary School named after our former governor, when they brought the statue of Governor McCall to Tom McCall for a ceremony. And Nolan had the honor and did an outstanding job playing Tom McCall, the politician. And I think he'll make a great future Tom McCall from Central Oregon. Thank you, Nolan.
Thank you, and welcome to your House and your House of Representatives. Representative Brune.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I would ask you to welcome my friend and neighbor, Dan Kling. Dan is right here. Dan and his wife, Jenny, and their daughter, Katie, live right across the street from us. And for a long time now, he's been wondering what we do here. And so we said, well, let's make a day of it. So he's down here all day long with the meetings and the various committees, obviously here on the floor. And my only fear is, colleagues, that he'll get to the end of this day and still wonder what we do. Please welcome Dan Kling.
Representative Harker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Nice to see you up there. Colleagues, I too have an honorary page here today. His name is Gustavo Cervantes Vargas. He is 13 and goes to grade 8. Stand up there. Yes, thank you. And Mountain View Middle School, fond of business, politics, and watching the news. You must be a brave young man to enjoy watching the news these days. He has ambitions to be perhaps a politician or a stockbroker. Welcome. Nice to have you here.
Welcome to your capital and to your house. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like for you to extend a welcome to one of my city councilors from the Dalles, Mr. Jim Wilcox, over here on the side aisle. And I am blessed to have Jim with me today because just a few short months ago, as he was on the treadmill, he went down, coronary. And we're lucky to have him with us today. He survived, and he's a much better guy today than he was a few months ago.
Could we have a little more silence, please? Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I have a guest today, a constituent, Marilyn Lane. She's on the side aisle. She's on the College Board at Clatsop Community College. And she's here to remind me that we need to protect our community colleges, and I'd welcome her to the Capitol today.
Further courtesies, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It's nice to see you up there today.
Thank you.
Madam Speaker and colleagues, do you ever worry about your family coming to town? I don't. I got a great family, and I wanted to introduce you to them. On the side aisle, I have my lovely kid sister, Felicia Capps, her husband, Rodney Capps, we call him that. They're both teachers from Visalia, California. Now, listen carefully, because you go down the line, you see my niece, Christy Simpson, and I've never said this in public before, but I'm proud to say you see my grandnephew, Ashton Simpson. So if you'll welcome them and give them courtesies, I'll appreciate it.
Now, welcome to the
Madam
Capitol.
Speaker, oh, sorry, thank you.
Thank
would
you.
Never
Representative
interrupt you,
Gilliam.
Madam Speaker. Now I have to turn to a place that may be more appropriately found under remonstrances, but every time I punch in for remonstrance, there is so much moaning that I've decided to do a discourtesy this morning, and it's to the representative from the dunes. The Scirocco winds of the dunes have apparently blown for 61 years, and what you see now are the effects of the dusty, dry conditions of this 61-year-old. There seems to be a disturbance, Madam Speaker. I'll keep talking. And another thing, Madam Speaker, I hope that we've turned the cameras off and no one in the state of Oregon is witnessing this at this time.
Happy birthday, Representative Roblin. Further courtesies? We will now have verification of quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum.
Thank you.
Representative Gilliam?
Present.
Representative Barker?
Present.
Representative Stiegler?
Present.
All members are present. Messages from the governor? Okay. Messages from the Senate?
Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that the Senate has passed Senate Bill 24, 159, 177, 275, 383, 512, 583, 595, 663, 685, 875, adopted SCR 9 and 10 and SJR 8. Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed House Bills 2190, 2256, 2257, 2258, 2259, and 2326.
First reading, memorials, and resolutions.
HJM 20, urging Congress to enact legislation concerning Medicare reimbursement rates. SCR 9, in memoriam, David Allette, 1939 to 2008. SCR 10, in memoriam, Dr. Robert Bacon, 1918 to 2009. SJR 8, designating airstrip at Aurora State Airport as West Lametta Field at Aurora State Airport.
Measures read first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report has been filed. Special committee reports, propositions and motions, first reading of House bills.
House Bill 3471 relating to intercounty adoptions of children into custody of the Department of Human Services and declaring an emergency.
Bill read for the first time is passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2127 relating to notices and contested cases. House Bill 2227 relating to destination resorts. House Bill 2418 relating to persons exempt from real estate licensing law. House Bill 2506 relating to persons subject to regulation by Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. House Bill 2610 relating to health professionals. House Bill 2613 relating to provision of utility services to tenants and declaring an emergency.
Bills read second time are passed to third reading. The consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill and short summary.
House Bill 2333 relating to authentication of financial records by affidavit and grand jury proceedings. Authorizes grand jury to receive affidavit from financial company authenticating records of financial company.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2333. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Thatcher votes aye. Representative Jensen votes aye. Representative Berger, aye. Representative Beyer, aye. House Bill 2333, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2385, relating to smoking in a motor vehicle.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of 2385. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
I am sorry, but it's... Could we please be a little more quiet? Thank you. Representative Riley.
This is a pretty simple bill. I've been thinking about how to talk about it. It's been interesting talking to all the members and hearing their ideas and why they're either going to vote or not vote for this. One of the members who is not going to vote for it said, gee, can I just slap them? You know? No, you can't, unfortunately. I wish every adult who drives a car would understand what they're doing to their kids that are strapped in the back seat and not do it. Unfortunately, that's not what happens. I had one person who said to me, gosh, I wish it had come up earlier in the session. I could vote for it then before it got so political in here. I think it's unfortunate that this might be somewhat partisan. I don't think it's a partisan bill. I think it's about protecting kids. I think it's about making sure that adults are encouraged to do the right thing. I know there are folks who are not happy with this bill, but I believe it's the right thing to do, and I'm not going to talk about it a long time. It's a simple bill. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question the carrier.
Does the carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
Representative, sorry I didn't get these questions to you. They're pretty simple, as the bill is. With this bill, is this violation a primary or secondary offense?
Thank you for that question. I see absolutely no reason why we should insist that people run a red light in order to protect the kids. So this is a primary violation.
Okay. A follow-up, Madam Chair?
Representative Olson. Follow-up, does the carrier yield?
I do.
Okay. And Representative, just the last thing I have is, can a police officer stop the driver if they suspect that the passengers appear to be under age 17? Because there's sometimes you drive down the road and somebody appears to be 17 and you find out that they're 24.
Well, as you well know, the officers have a pretty wide discretion in this area. If they suspect that someone's under the age of 17, of course they can stop. If they don't suspect that, they won't. It's really up to the police officer and their perception. And you of all people know this just as well as everybody in this chamber. Police officers have a wide discretion in these kinds of areas.
Representative Olson, do you wish to speak further?
No, thank you.
Further discussion. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I'm going to support this bill because somebody needs to speak for these children. And when they don't have a choice where they ride or how they ride and whether their parent or the person in the car is smoking, so they need to have some support there. And this is why I'm voting for this bill, not to mention all the health reasons that shouldn't be smoking in close quarters or smoking at all. So for our children who can't choose for themselves, I raise my voice in support of this bill.
Is there further discussion? Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill?
To the bill.
I do want to speak about the health issues because I think health issues are really important in this. We all know now scientifically that the toxicity of secondhand smoke has been made very clear. Secondhand smoke is extremely dangerous, and it's particularly dangerous to the immature respiratory system of children. I don't think we're worried about an 18-year-old smoking with a 17-year-old in the car. I think we're talking about a parent smoking with an infant and with a young child in the car. And in my mind, the toxicity of that secondhand smoke is 27 times higher in an enclosed space than it is, say, in a home. This is an extremely dangerous process for young children. I think it frankly borders on child abuse. Now, we're all mandatory reporters of child abuse. And in fact, this is a form of child abuse. Now, it may be an unintended form of child abuse, but we hear child abusers saying all along that I didn't really intend to hurt that kid when I pushed him down the stairs or when I locked him in a closet. What putting this into statute makes clear that this is a violation and a significant violation, and I really urge you to join with me to make clear to parents who do not intend to harm their children that this is an extremely harmful thing to be doing. Thank you, colleagues.
Further discussion? Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill?
To the bill.
Colleagues, nobody should smoke in a car. They shouldn't smoke in a car if they're the only one in it, if they have adult passengers, if they have children in a car. Frankly, no one should smoke. But the fact of the matter is, it's a legal activity right now. Parents who don't realize the danger will not be informed by this law. Parents who don't realize that their behavior is endangering their children are bad parents already. This law will not change that. But what it does do is criminalize behavior in such a way that law enforcement will be spending time pulling over people who have a cigarette in their hand and no other offense, when we've got huge public safety issues that I want my public safety officers dealing with. While they're on the side of the road on a smoking in a car offense, trying to figure out how old the people in the car are, there are drug mules going by, there are burglaries going on, there are terrible domestic disputes that aren't being dealt with. This bill goes too far in trying to control something that really is a social matter, not a criminal matter. I do not like where this bill is going. I cannot support this. I want our police officers to be out there dealing with real crimes, not trying to deal with bad parenting. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Call.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill?
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise today just to explain a few of the things that came up in committee so that I could hopefully assuage some concerns and maybe bring a few of you over into the yes column on this bill. One of the major concerns that was addressed or raised in committee is that somehow this bill would invade a person's right to privacy. And I think that is a legitimate discussion to be had. I think that far too often we don't react swiftly enough or strongly enough when our rights to privacy are invaded. But that is not a debate for this chamber. Since 1925, each of us has had a diminished expectation of privacy in an automobile. And most recently, in the Acevedo case, California versus Acevedo, the Supreme Court has ruled very broadly that without a warrant, a police officer can not only search your car, but look at any of the contents of your car, even open a briefcase. I want to make very clear what that opinion means. It means that when you're walking down the street in the public, you have a greater right to privacy under our Constitution than you do when you're inside of your car. That case quite clearly states that if you have a briefcase in your car and you're pulled over without a warrant, it can be searched. But if you're walking down the street in public, with that same briefcase, you have a right to privacy. Now, there can be serious issue with that case. I personally have an issue with some of the legal reasoning in that case. But the fact of the matter is that we have a situation in the automobile where we have a diminished expectation of privacy. And since that is the case, we should utilize that precedent to protect children.
And that is what this bill does. This bill protects children. I'm going to read for you a press release from June 27, 2006, just a brief paragraph. This was a press release issued by the Surgeon General under President George W. Bush. U.S. Surgeon General Richard H. Carmona today issued a comprehensive scientific report which concludes that there is no risk-free level of exposure to secondhand smoke. Non-smokers exposed to secondhand smoke at home or work increase their risk of developing heart disease by 25 or 30% and lung cancer by 20 to 30%. The finding is of major public health concern due to the fact that nearly half of all non-smoking Americans are still regularly exposed to secondhand smoke. The report, The Health Consequences of Involuntary Exposure to Tobacco Smoke, finds that even brief secondhand smoke exposure can cause immediate harm. The science on this is not partisan. Our former president, Republican President George W. Bush, his Surgeon General, says the science is very clear. The science we can all agree on. And the science applied to this particular case shows that in the automobile, where we have a diminished expectation of privacy, to prohibit parents from smoking in that car with their children present protects those children. Because even the briefest secondhand smoke exposure can cause immediate harm. Thank you, colleagues. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Widener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, too, sat through the committee and to the bill.
To the bill.
Sat through the committee and listened to a lot of the testimony that came before us on this issue. And was even presented this bill in front to sign on to it and everything. And I grew up in the home with a smoker, and I understand the effects that it has on you. I rode in the car with a smoker my entire life. But to me, this bill is just another feel-good bill. If we really want to make a difference, we need to get to the problem of addressing the addiction to tobacco. And this bill does not do it. Right now, smoking is a legal activity. And we're trying to slowly take away bits and pieces of this legal activity away from people. And it's something that we need to stop attacking the smoker and start attacking the real problem, which is the addiction to the cigarettes. We've passed a lot of bills in this legislature over the years dealing with drug addiction. And we still have people doing drugs in front of their children, knowing that they could go to jail for it. It doesn't correct the problem. We really want to address this. We need to be looking at options such as tax credits for using Nicorette gum and providing services like that to get people off of the smoking. But we're just looking at one more way to raise revenue off of smokers. And for that reason, I will be a no vote on this bill today.
Further discussion? Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I'd like to start by first apologizing to the good representative from the heart of Washington County. He approached me on this bill when it was in first draft form, and I told him then, you know what, I hate this bill. Not for any particular reason other than the self-pity of me having to place a vote on this floor in public. And I got to tell you, I apologize to you for that, because in the end, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about whether or not, you know, somebody perceives this as something that's political. We're not talking about partisan politics. We're talking about a piece of legislation that has the potential to be effective. We're talking about a piece of a very big puzzle that needs to be in place for us to start working towards a problem. I'm telling you, colleagues, I'm in favor of this bill for a lot of reasons. Most of those stem around, obviously, myself as a father of three children that won't be exposed to secondhand smoke in a car. As a firefighter, as a former police officer, and yes, I too ask the very questions. How's law enforcement going to be able to deal with this? What's going to happen when a 13-year-old uses their own cell phone and calls a reporter parents smoking in the car at 55 miles an hour down I-5? Those things are going to happen. And when they do, they'll be dealt with. Do I think police will get an immediate response? No, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to be, you know, storming 75, 95 miles an hour past us to pull that suspect car over. But I think it's a tool in the toolbox that's necessary towards kids' health. So the bottom line for me, as a matter of fact, you know, my balance is going to be, can I stand in the middle of the Cafe Delirium, in the middle of the PAL Youth Center, in the middle of any elementary school or anywhere else in my town, and be held accountable for the very things that I expect to be held accountable for in this legislation? And with that, again, as a DARE officer, Drug Abuse Resistance Education, having 10-year-old kids ask me then, how do you get your parents to stop smoking in a car? What do you do when your parents won't stop smoking around you? What do you do about secondhand smoke? Yeah, today's the day I get to cast a vote on that, I guess. And so what I'm going to do is vote for this bill. I'd urge you to. I understand the conflict that everybody in this room is in. I won't minimize that. But at the end of the day, for me, it comes down to choosing kids first and kids' health care. And so for that, again, I apologize for my initial reaction to your bill. I'm on board 100%, and thank you for bringing this forward. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion. Representative Bruin.
Bill, Madam Speaker.
To the bill.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you to the good representative from sort of Hillsborough. I'm not sure what your proper handle is for fighting to bring this to the floor. This is one of those bills that's going to have a split vote, and I applaud this bill or any other that we let the fight happen here and not be so worried about what the final vote's going to be, whether it's a pass or a fail. I applaud you, good representative, for doing this. Just very briefly, against your bill, I was one of those children that grew up with both a mother and a father that every time I was in the car with them, whether the windows were up or the windows were down, they were smoking. And that's just bad. My parents were good parents. They didn't have the education that parents have today. But that's a bad thing to happen. Parents today should know better, and to the good representative from West Salem, she has it exactly right. We're talking about bad parenting. I will fess up, when the good representative from Hillsborough was working this bill and asked me my position on this bill, I was the one who said I will support it as long as we have an amendment on there that says we're allowed to take the parents and slap them. Now, I didn't mean that literally. I have to be careful about, you know, how the press construes certain things I say. I don't mean that literally, but I beat it about as literally as you can get without the physical event happening. The key, the solution to this is shame and education, frankly. I'm not sure that we can address it as has been well voiced by the representative from West Salem with the law. But I want to just make one final point, and I want to make the point in comment to the comment made by the good representative from East Multnomah County when he suggests that we have a diminished expectation to privacy when we're in our cars. I just think, colleagues, looking back through the history, as long as we've had cars, looking back at all the young couples and not so young couples who went to drive-in movies, who went to inspiration points, who may have a different expectation of privacy that may be in contrast to what we're looking at today. So I urge a vote, no vote. Thank you, colleagues.
Further discussion. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, to the bill. Colleagues, when I first saw this bill, my first reaction was to Chuck, here's another nanny bill. What are you doing? But after consideration, I've changed my mind, and I once again apologize to the good representative from the heart of Washington County. We have forgotten, most of us, what it was like a few years back when people smoked in your workplace, when people smoked in the office. I can remember taking a picture for the Union newspaper of one of our senior detectives in Portland reading a newspaper with his feet up on the desk smoking a cigar in the office. And until people were prohibited, that was just the way it was. I was in China over the last 2 years. I've been over there twice. People smoke everywhere in China. And when I was in a restaurant, I was, you know, gagging, trying to eat with the smoke. I got into an elevator, which is kind of like being in a car, and people got in the elevator that were smoking in that small, confined space, and I was reminded how bad secondhand smoke is. As far as the police wasting their time, that's not a waste of time. And police make stops for all kinds of things already. Police stop people, and I've done it many times, for no license plate light or one tail light out. And by the way, most criminals move around via their car. So it's a good idea for police to be talking to people in cars to begin with to see what's going on. When we think about smoking in the old days, if you look at the pictures on the wall of the members' lounge upstairs, at those committee meetings, you'll see ashtrays on all the tables. Could you imagine today what would happen if everybody in that committee room was smoking? We require car seats to protect our children in cars. We tell them that they have to wear helmets when they're riding on bikes. You can smoke all you want. It is a legal product. You just can't, or you shouldn't smoke with kids in the car, and this would make it so you can't smoke with kids in the car. And the good representative from West Lynn, a citation will be the slap to get the parents' attention. Just a final thought. These are children who are really susceptible to this secondhand smoke, and children are not property. It's not up to the parent to decide if they want to poison them with smoke in a car. As a society, we should be protecting the kids. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Riley, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you. A lot of what I planned to say in closing has already been covered, and I won't go over it again. I do want to point out one thing, and that is the education piece. I agree, education is really important. But what we've discovered and what the state police have told me, and I have charts to show that it's really the case, is that they can educate and educate and educate, and nothing happens. They testified about this in front of the committee. Once a bill has passed, a law becomes law, the compliance goes up very quickly. Car seat case, where they tried very hard to get people to start using car seats for several years with public announcements, all kinds of education, it didn't work. They were about 40% of the people using them. Within 2 years after the law went into effect, they were at 70%. And that's without stopping people. Education is a great thing, and we're part of that education. We need to do it. This is how we do our education. It works. I urge your aye vote. Thank you very much.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes no. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Kotek votes no. House Bill 2385, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3043, relating to boundary changes under jurisdiction of Metropolitan Service District.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3043A. Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. You see before you the probably the House's leading opponent of annexations, bringing you an annexation bill. And I bring this to you from the Land Use Committee. This is a relatively straightforward bill. Metro has expanded the urban growth boundaries and has members in the has residents who are in the urban growth boundary who aren't in Metro, and some members who are in the Metro boundary who aren't in the urban growth boundary. And this intends for future expansions, not for past expansions, for future expansions of the urban growth boundary in the Metro area to automatically annex folks into Metro who are included in the urban growth boundary. I hear complaints from my folks in my district who say, I don't get any say on Metro, I don't get to vote, I don't get to let them know because I'm not a part of their district. This says for all new expansions, the expanded territory
usually vacant, will become a part of Metro. There was in the original bill, it included other people that were in the urban growth boundary and not a part of Metro. We passed an amendment that I sponsored to remove that from the bill, so there wasn't any question. It appears to be non-controversial. We didn't have anybody come and testify against it, and it does another little thing on straightening out boundaries within urban reserves that are no longer urban reserves, and cleans up a little glitch in that bill, and I urge a yes vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Greenlick, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kennemer, how do you vote? Representative Kennemer votes aye. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Aye. House Bill 3043, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Reed, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To request unanimous consent for a temporary return to the order of courtesies, please.
Are there any objections? Representative Reed has asked for return to courtesies. Are there any objections? Hearing none, Representative Reed.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I hope you'll help me welcome some other colleagues. Every year, Nike welcomes visitors from our partners in Asia to spend several months here learning what we do at Nike in the United States. And as part of their experience, some of my colleagues have chosen to come visit the Capitol and learn about how we do things here. They're nearing the end of their time in the United States before they return home, so we're especially grateful that they're here. They're in the upper gallery, and I'll tell you their names quickly. From Taiwan, Sarah Liu, Wei Ming Wang, Joanna Lin, Aurora Lee, and Alan Lau. From Vietnam, Can Pham and Wilson Tran. From Indonesia, Daisy Atika. From China, Carl Pang and Julia Yang. And from Korea, S.I. Co. They'll be visiting other parts of the Capitol, and we're grateful for their presence here. Thank you, colleagues.
Welcome to the Oregon State Capitol, and welcome to the House of Representatives. Enjoy your stay. Further courtesies? Final reading, memorials, and resolutions. The clerk will read the bills, the resolutions.
H.J.R. 16, recognizing responsibility of Oregon in providing leadership and nation stewardship of oceans, and that loss of research of vessel Wacoma without replacement is net economic loss to Oregon.
Question now arises upon final reading and adoption of H.J.R. 16. Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I'm bringing you today H.J.R. 16, which blessedly passed out of the Environment and Water Committee on a unanimous vote. H.J.R. 16 resolves to support the operation of a new ocean-class research vessel, which will be obtained through a competitive process to the U.S. Navy. It's important to note, no resources are required for the 2009-11 biennium. In light of where we are today, I want to make that clear up front. However, Oregon State University has a long and rich history as an operator of a scientific research vessel. The research vessel Wacoma is currently based in Newport, and it has been providing access to West Coast research operations for 30 years. Sadly, our beloved Wacoma is nearing the end of its service. However, continuing scientific research on offshore California Current and Oregon's territorial sea is critical for understanding the short-term and the long-term changes in ecosystem structure and function and in response to both human activities and natural variability. These research programs depend, rather understandably, on access to the sea, and much of this access will depend on the continued presence of a large research-class ship based in Oregon. The federal government is implementing a replacement program, and Oregon will need to compete with other states to serve as the home port for the successor to the research vessel Wacoma. Success in this endeavor will allow us to continue to provide to the West Coast access for all oceanographic researchers, bringing many national and international scientists to Oregon to appreciate our state and ocean environment. What happens is the Wacoma acts as sort of a taxi, and these folks that have a project come here to get access out on the boat and with the skilled operators. The vessel's activities are supported by over $3.5 million, most of which is spent in Oregon. The supporting economic activity roll-up is at least $12 million. Conversely, the loss of this vessel and the consequential loss of the operational facilities and personnel at Hatfield Marine Science Center will permanently damage our competitiveness and revenue potential and likely lead to the loss of seagoing scientists. The risk is clear. Without action now to improve our competitive position for ship replacement, OSU may cease to being a vessel operating institution. While competing states provide incentives to maintain their ship operations, the state of Oregon alone amongst competitors for the new research vessel is alone in providing no similar investment to date. This resolution allows us to recognize the state's responsibility in securing this vital service, and it indicates our best intent to support the operation of a new Oceans-class research vessel in the amount of $500,000 annually beginning in 2014 or whenever the vessel becomes operational. The proposal timeline requires that we make that commitment now. I urge you to join my entire economic promotional community and in support of HJR 16, which will enable OSU to be competitive for the replacement of the Wacoma. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just a quick support of this.
To the bill.
We are trying so hard to get more research done in our oceans, and the work of the Wacoma has had a wonderful past, and we need to replace this ship so that we can continue our work and continue a new work that we have planned for the ocean marine resources and marine renewable energy sectors that are coming up in this very session. Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cower, do you wish to close? Representative Cowan does not. Those who are of the opinion that the resolution should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Wingard. Representative Wingard votes aye. Representative Nolan votes aye. HJR 16, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 24 relating to health benefit plan coverage of telemedical services. Senate Bill 159 relating to communicable diseases. Senate Bill 177 relating to practice of social work. Senate Bill 275 relating to medical assistance for inmates with serious mental illnesses who are released from public institutions and declared an emergency. Senate Bill 383 related to home care workers. Senate Bill 512 related to disclosure of information about students involved in the justice system and declared an emergency. Senate Bill 583 related to all terrain vehicle helmet requirements. Senate Bill 595 related to veterans and declared an emergency. Senate Bill 663 related to vacancy in office of director of irrigation district. Senate Bill 685 related to extensions of credit. Senate Bill 875 related to assistance animals and declaring an emergency.
Bills read first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 213 related to Attorney General's regulation of tobacco.
Bills read the second time are passed for third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Republicans will caucus immediately following close of the session.
Further announcements? Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Democrats will caucus right after the end of the floor session.
Are there further announcements? Remonstrances? No ball games. Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 10:15 Thursday, April 9th, 2009.
Madam Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. April 9th, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Thursday, April 9, 2009. Without objection, the House is adjourned.
Yeah. I thought so, but...